Prince Brijo by Andrew Lang, Chapter 8. The Prince is Puzzled. Prince Brijo did not get to bed. It was bright daylight, and he had promised to bring the horns and tail of a fire drake as a present to a pretty lady. He had said it was easy to do this, but now, as he sat and thought over it, he did not feel so victorious. "First," he said, "where is the fire drake?" He reflected for a little, then ran upstairs to the garret. "It should be here," he cried, tossing the fairy's gifts about, "and, by George, here it is!" Indeed, he had found the spyglass of carved ivory which Prince Ali, in the Arabian Nights, bought in the bazaar in Shiraz. Now, this glass was made so that, by looking through it, you could see anybody or anything you wished, however far away. Brijo's first idea was to look at his lady, but she does not expect to be looked at, he thought, and I won't. On the other hand, he determined to look at the fire drake, for, of course, he had no delicacy about spying on him, the brute. The prince clapped the eyeglass to his eye, stared out of the window, and there, sure enough, he saw the fire drake. He was floating about in a sea of molten lava on the top of a volcano. There he was, swimming and driving for pleasure, tossing up the flaming waves, and blowing fountains of fire out of his nostrils, like a whale spouting. The prince did not like the looks of him. With all my cap of darkness and my shoes of swiftness and my sword of sharpness, I never could get near that beast, he said. And if I did stalk him, I could not hurt him. Poor little Alfonso, poor Enrico, what plucky fellows they were. I fancied that there was no such thing as a fire drake. He's not in the natural history books, and I thought the boys were only making fun and would be back soon, safe and sound. How horrid being too clever makes one! And now, what am I to do? What was he to do indeed? And what would you have done? Bring the horns and tail he must, or perish in the adventure. Otherwise, how could he meet his lady? Why, she would think him a mere braggart. The prince sat down, and thought and thought, and the day went on, and it was now high noon. At last he jumped up and rushed into the library, a room where nobody ever went except himself and the queen. There he turned the books upside down in his haste, till he found an old one by a French gentleman, Monsieur Cyrano de Bergerac. It was an account of a voyage to the moon, in which there is a great deal of information about matters not generally known, for few travelers have been to the moon. In that book, Prince Brijo fancied he would find something he half remembered, and that would be of use to him, and he did. So you see that cleverness and minding your book have some advantages after all, for here the prince learned that there is a very rare beast, called a remora, which is at least as cold as the firedrake is hot. Now, thought he, if I can only make these two fight, why, the remora may kill the firedrake, or take the heat out of him at least, so that I may have a chance. Then he seized the ivory spyglass, clapped it to his eye, and looked for the remora. Just the tip of his nose, as white as snow and as smooth as ice, was sticking out of a chink in a frozen mountain, not far from the burning mountain of the fire drake. "Hooray!" said the prince softly to himself, and he jumped like mad into the winged shoes of swiftness stuck on the cap of darkness, girdled himself with a sword of sharpness, and put a good slice of bread, with some cold tongue, in a wallet, which he slung on his back. Never you fight if you can help it, except with plenty of food to keep you going and in good heart. Then off he flew, and soon he reached the volcano of the fire drake.